The
Northern Soul
Podcast. Another Northern Soul podcast on the way for you. It's September and we'll be hearing from filmmaker Ivan Madeira about the short film he's making and directing for his production company called Kentucky Productions. The film is called Child in Their Eyes. He'll be telling us about how Kate Bush has influenced this film, as well as the rave scene in the 80s and 90s. But first, let's hear a track from these guys. They're from Berlin and they're called Seemoyer.
You gotta hold me tight. Can't feel it. Hold me. Hold me tight. You gotta hold me tight. Can't feel it. Hold me. Hold me tight.
Slow Down is what that track is called. Seemoyer are a three-piece from Germany. They are Elias Foerster, he's the vocalist, guitarist and synth player, Ivan Niklas Jansson, he plays bass and synth, and David Schnitzler, drums and modular synth. Now, they haven't been together for long, but they're a self-contained unit. They write and produce, mix and master all their own material, and their debut album is called Twins. Right, let's meet Ivan, writer, director and producer at Kentucky Productions. His new short film, Child in Their Eyes, shows the relentless drive and ambition you need to try and make it in the music industry right now. So, over to Ivan to explain more.
Child in Their Eyes is about a young musician who's been given an opportunity by a record label executive to record a demo and prove to them that they want to sign her, basically. So it's the backstory is kind of based on the whole YouTube generation where, you know, people go out there and record themselves doing performances live. Someone manages to capture one of her performances, which she recorded live, and gives her this opportunity. I think you kind of want to show more about the process of recording and how complicated and just how hard it is, not just recording, but writing and the perseverance you need in terms of how you make it. There's a massive misconception, really, I think, from sort of popular shows like Britain's Got Talent and Pop Idol, whatever they're called, you know.
You say that they've all left you behind.
And that you just audition to these things and you want to become someone from these. It is a gateway, it is an entry point to making it, but it's not the real entry point for the vast majority of people. We have to sit there, we have to write and do things and work and do jobs that we may or may not like whilst doing this at the same time. Maybe have a family, maybe have commitment, you know, we have things that we have to do on top of this, and it's hard, and we have to sacrifice some things. And any artist or anyone who wants to do anything in life will have to do that. And I want to show, just, it is a bit of a struggle and there is a bit of drudgery around it, and it isn't all glitz and glamour, which is kind of why we want to show sort of the fun bit of recording first, but also show that what you might think you hear at the end, the amount of times, the amount of iterations, these things just doesn't happen naturally. There isn't this romantic story that on the last take we nailed it, which funny enough we did in recording the film for the actual song, but it's not because the last take was the best take, it's just the amount of takes it's taken us to get there. It's a real journey, it's a real struggle. I basically been writing a feature script, The Kick Inside, now for the last 5 years with my co-writer William Whitfield, and we've gone on a long journey. You know, we've written several short films in support of that idea, and the idea was really about more of a journeyman coming of age drama of this sort of mid to late 20s person sort of going through his identity and trying to understand where he's from and where he sits in his life as a second generation immigrant kid. And I wanted to kind of get away from that, it's almost a biographical tale in some respects, to creating something of my first love of music and combining it with film. And that really was stemmed from watching a preview screening of Whiplash last year. And I read a lot about that film. I follow the film festival circuit, the indie circuit a lot, because I need to. I'm a filmmaker. I go to the festivals. I submit films to the festivals. I need to see what people are watching and what people like to watch. I also want to just see what great films are coming out. And basically Whiplash kind of changed my trajectory a bit, that I wanted to make a music film. I'm a musician at heart, and I went off and I wrote this film really quickly, originally thinking about writing about the turntablist scene, because I'm, you know, used to being scratching. So that drive of turning it into more of a traditional sort of singer, producer person rather than a turntablist was born out of more practicalities of trying to shoot it. But it kind of the story wrote itself almost. I think it's been inside me for a long time to write just a music film, and it was fantastic.
Thank you. think of all our crossings. Taking steps is easy, standing still is hard. Remember all their faces, remember all their voices. Everything is different the second time around.
Regina Spektor, You've Got Time, included on this podcast because I'm loving the Netflix series Orange is the New Black. Now, I always come to box sets late. In fact, I've actually only ever watched Breaking Bad before this, believe it or not. Anyway, Regina Spektor has been around for a while, but she wrote this song especially for the series. Before that, Blossoms, You've Pulled a Gun on Me. They're a five-piece from Stockport. They've just signed to Virgin EMI Records this summer. The Blossoms have invented... Now, this is not my words, this is a publication who said this. The Blossoms have invented their very own subgenre, ethereal nostalgic sonance. I mean, I'm just not clever enough to write that. Anyway, they're a bit Doors-ish. that's me. They've also just played the Leeds Festival too. Now, back to Ivan Madeira and Child in Their Eyes. I asked him what sort of music influenced the film.
The music that really influenced the film is kind of the music I grew up with. I mean, I'm in my early 30s, so I was a little bit too young to be part of the rave scene first time round, but as a kid I grew up with some of the classic tunes like SL2, Way in My Brain, and the Prodigy Experience album was one of the first albums that really got me to dance music. And I was quite young, but you know, I had an ear for music. It came more from my father's side, I'd say, and it just really was something for me. So I grew up doing music lessons, went to music school after my sort of regular school, and just learned to play the keyboard, used to DJ, and used to produce. So I'm very finicky about music. Music is my first love. Not to diminish my film love, but it is my true first love. And so the rave scene kind of was the first thing I went back to. And I wanted to kind of create a classic sort of piano song, but in a modern way with a band and sort of singing and mixing my love of bands since I was 18. When I went to university, I discovered like Radiohead and Badly Drawn Boy's first album doing the rounds. And I wanted to combine that love of my love of bands and gigs into rave, and that's what really influenced it. And I hope the ravers like it. I'm very conscious about keeping the ravers happy. I'm very much a purist. Those are the real influences. It's a hodgepodge or whatever of things. It's a mixing pot, and it just all melts in. And that's why I just wanted to do a tribute to that era. I think the biggest influence too is just to represent that the rave scene has quite a lot of significance politically of the feeling at the time of where we were, how people felt, like people feeling marginalised, disenfranchised. And it's that feeling kind of happening now. I really want the audience to feel for Katie. The fact that she might come off a bit hard-headed or hard-nosed or whatever, that's great. She's a strong character. She knows what she wants. She's young, she's driven, she's talented. And I want people to see that. If people think that she's being rude or what otherwise, then you're missing the point. You really are. Katie knows what she wants. And I think that's what I really want the audience to fall in love with her in that sense. Really push her story along. And to make you feel that you want to see more what happens next. Because we are writing a feature on this. I've already skeletoned a lot of it out. And this project is really special to me. And I really want to take it to a full-blown feature. I think there's a mixture of traditional business model and sort of modern things that we have to do to adapt rather than to die. It does sound very much Donald Trump-esque. It's true though, you have to think traditionally, you have to think what makes a business work, but then you've got to utilize what the changes are to your benefit. So for example, Spotify, I think royalty structure isn't fair on the musicians, but then other channels like Vevo might be better. I don't know like what the true rate return on investment you get from those channels, sound business-like, but I think the most important thing really is that people, artists, can have more control over things. There's technology in front of them, but the problem is with too much choice of technology being readily available, you have to remember the core principles of songwriting, the core principles of production, the core principles of mixing and mastering, to make sure that whether you lean into it a lot or not is down to you, but it's really about remembering those principles to help guide you and use whatever technology or distribution mechanism you can. Whether you self-distribute, you have to remember how do you promote a market. And a lot of these companies that exist, a lot of them have networks already set out there. It's a, you know, like an old boy elitist institute still. It's still governed and run by quite sort of a real weird institute of people that is really rich and kind of out of touch with the world. And you have to think, how do you get into that market to sell? Because they know the people to sell to. They know the demographics, they've got statistics and stuff.
Getting to the point where I'm no fun anymore.
I am sorry.
Sometimes it hurts so badly I must cry out loud.
I am lonely.
I am yours. You are mine. You are what you are.
Give back it
hard. Remember what we've said and done and felt about each other.
Babe, have mercy.
Don't let the past remind us of what we are not now.
I am not grieving.
I am yours, you are mine, you are what you are.
You make it hard.
Tearing yourself
away from me now. You are free, and I am crying. This does not mean I don't love you. I do, that's forever. Yes, and for always.
I am yours, you are mine. You are what you are. You make it hard. Something inside is telling me that I've got your secret.
Are you still listening?
Here is the lock and laughter, the key to your heart.
And I love you.
I am yours, you are mine. You are what you are.
You make it hard. And you make it hard.
Chestnut brown canary,
ruby throated sparrow, sing the song, don't be long, thrill me to the marrow.
Voices of the angel
ring around the moonlight, asking me, said she's so free, how can you catch the sparrow? Change my life, make it right, be my lady.
You've gotten through some stuff. Wait it all.
Lucy McNamara. That was Greg Murray and the Seven Wonders and At Your Most Beautiful. Now, I recently presented a BBC Introducing show on BBC Radio Stoke, and I came across this song and I immediately fell in love with it, so much so that I got in touch with Greg and asked him to send it over for the podcast. Now, they describe themselves as Americana. They're from Stoke-on-Trent, and I think you'll agree that those harmonies are just wonderful. Before that, it was Crosby, Stills and Nash with Judy Blue Eyes. They play Manchester's Bridgewater Hall, actually, on the 21st of September. Let's hear the final part of my interview with director of Hentucky Productions, Ivan Madeira, about his new short film, Child in Their Eyes, which shows the struggle character Kate has to make it in the industry. I asked Ivan why he made the film.
I think making films, I'm exceedingly driven because I want to make it And I really wanted to show how hard it is. But when you're, and it's for this character, when you're a talented musician, which Katie is, you want her to make it. But you kind of see, like, you know, the idea is she lives a fairly standard life, but the thing she cares about, she really invests in, and you kind of see it in her, in the set dressing that we picked specifically for when she's producing at home, to, I guess, to her being in studio recording and trying to deliver. And I think having that strong character is really important for me. It just, to switch and focus and change is just, after watching Whiplash and watching Drama and watching that this character's driven and in a world that I wanted to go to music school at one point, but I didn't. I just thought it was, I don't think I was ever going to be good enough, and which is quite funny because Damien Chazelle, the guy who directed Whiplash, said the same thing, which kind of did resonate with me. So it's almost like you want this character to succeed because of your own sort of what ifs, I guess. And it was influenced a lot by, I think, Kate Bush when she was signed to EMI, and that process of recording the first album, The Kick Inside. And I'm a massive Kate Bush fan, so that really comes across, I think, was there is a lot of nods and head nods to Kate Bush in this film too. I focused a lot on identity. It was more about things about me that I cared about, what I grew up about, which I still care about, which I think are driven by a multitude of influences and reflections growing up in life. And the characters I have written have been quite introverted, who then find themselves for a coming of age drama, sort of a classic mid to late 20s indie drama film. And I think having a 19-year-old woman being driven and knowing what they want at that age is quite different to what I've written before, but it also feels really natural to write. It feels really good, feels really positive. But the thing that I really care about is Rich's music is going to be fully represented in a very laid out on the table way, and that's going to excite me, that I've sort of really focused on to my just pure love of music. And my sort of, then you can throw in things I really care about of equality and sort of people being marginalised. And I don't, like, if anyone's ever worked to me, I try to maintain a relatively flat hierarchy structure. It's just going to be a good music drama with a very good cast.
Samson, a four-piece from Manchester, hoping to get them on the podcast soon, actually, as they tell me they've got a lot in the pipeline at the moment. Before that, Monarchy and Gold in the Fire, they play the Deaf Institute in Manchester on October the 15th. These guys are from London, and actually they've done remixes for Ellie Goulding, Khalees, Lady Gaga and Marina and the Diamonds. And their first live show was broadcast into space, which made them the first band ever to perform live into space. It's quite something. Well, we've come to the end of the podcast for September. Back next month with more great new music tracks and another great interview. Don't forget, you can always get in touch via Twitter on @Lucy_McNamara. This is the Northern Soul Podcast.